Blog Talk Radio.
This is the 21st century, and we need to redefine revolution. This planet needs a people's revolution, a humanist revolution. Revolution is not about bloodshed or about going to the mountains and fighting. We'll fight if we are forced to. But the fundamental goal of revolution must be peace. We need a revolution of the mind. We need a revolution of the heart. We need a revolution of the spirit. The power of people is stronger.
Gentlemen, and welcome to Shabbat's Black Experience, and hands coming to you from Oakland, California. Today, the birthplace of the Black Panther Party. Today, ladies and gentlemen, we're doing Inner City Blues of Self-Destruction. Now, we have a young man on there, our guest tonight. His name is Free Peace, okay? He tried to speak on our last show, and he felt that he didn't get enough time to talk. So we're definitely going to give him about 5 minutes to state what he's going to say. And then we're going to invite our callers to call in, and please give us a call at area code 646-564-9630. And tonight is a structured format conversation, and we're dealing with the sensitive issues related to self-destruction and counterproductive practices that we inflict on each other within the Black community. Our guest will make his presentation of his premise, and then we'll have a respectful dialogue with each other. Okay, now let me see if he's there. Okay, are you there, Free Peace? Are you there? Okay, alrighty. Okay, so we get our featured guest to come in this evening. I see Brother Isaiah there calling in from Baltimore. How you doing this evening, sir?
I'm good, brother. How you doing?
Okay, I'm doing okay. So, you know, we got our guest coming on, man. You know, the gentleman who was on the other night, and he thought that he did not get enough time. So what we're going to do is that we're going to give him 5 to 7 minutes to speak and say his piece.
Okay.
And then what we're going to do is turn it over to everybody and let them, you know, respond to his questions. And then, you know, we're going to, you know, make it all respectful. Okay, Free Peace,
right,
you there?
Right.
Okay, are you there, Free Peace? Okay, huh. We're trying to pull him back in.
Right.
I see something right here. Yeah, okay, hold on. Okay, we're going to try to get him again. Okay, all right, that 925, last 40844. Okay, is that you, Free Peace? Brother Isaiah, can you hear him?
No, I cannot hear him yet.
Okay, you can't hear him yet. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, we're trying to get him up here. Okay, but basically, you know, what the premise is that he's talking about the self-destruction that we do with each other in the Black community. Okay, of, you know, what we do, of what goes on in the Black community, of what we do to each other, because it's great, it's beautiful to sit up there, to be conscious, you see, but we do have to focus on what we do to each other, you see, for our progress. So this is why, you know, we're giving this gentleman, you know, his opportunity to speak. Okay, so what I'm trying to do is get them on the line right here. And also, too, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced, coming to you from Oakland, California today. Our air date here is August 26, 2018. Okay, we're trying them from another area code. Okay, Free Peace, you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay, Free Peace, you there?
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yes, sir. I can hear you loud and clear. Okay. Yeah, I got you loud and clear. Okay, so there you go, Brother Isaiah. That is Brother Free Peace who we're talking about. Okay, Brother Free Peace, now that we got you on the air, sir. Okay, please state of how you feel, and keep in mind you will not be interrupted. And then we'll let the other people talk and then let it interact. All right. Okay, now what's your feeling on this here, Brother Free Peace? And you got 5 minutes, man, to come up here and say what's on your mind, sir.
Mm-hmm. Of course you will.
So, my feeling on the self-destruction, I believe that there are more. Talking about self-destruction of the black community is like talking about black unity. They're just going to self-destruct. Think about it like a Terminator. Like in the Terminator series. They're designed to destroy each other, kill each other, and there's nothing you can do about it. They can't be bargained with. They can't be reasoned with. They don't feel pity or remorse or fear, and the absolutely only way to stop them is to kill them yourself, or stop them, or throw them in a jail cell. That's the only way to get rid of them.
Okay, now when you say get rid of them, well, please define them, please.
Right.
You know what? Define them, because there are some good black folks out there, but I'm gonna go ahead and say the majority are not.
Okay.
Especially,
why is that?
And it all starts at home. It all starts at home.
Okay.
So when we talk about white supremacy, let's just look at it like a coin. Let's talk about white supremacy for instance. Black women and white supremacy are two sides of the same coin.
Okay. Please specify.
Well, they teach especially their boys to be weak. They either pick the most weakest man out there, or if they do get a good man, they find a way to run him off.
Okay.
And what they do after that, so they can accept the welfare and the handouts from white people. So, you remember shows back in the 70s, such as, Phil Donahue? No, it was maybe the 80s. Phil Donahue, Sally Jesse Raphael. Oprah made a whole empire by degrading black men. Oprah made her whole empire was based on that. Tyler Perry, same shit. Tyler Perry is doing it right now, making a whole empire degrading black men. So when somebody comes at me and says, you know what, problem with Hollywood, Oprah, or anybody else doing degrading their own kind, you got to ask yourself, why is it that shows like Seinfeld, Big Bang Theory, when you see a black woman on those shows, she's usually fat, overweight. I'm sorry, she's usually fat, has a bad attitude, has hair full of weave. Why do you think they do that? Why do you think that Hollywood has that stereotype? And the funny thing is, you don't get very many black people complaining about that. You don't get the black people calling those shows like, don't portray us like that.
Right.
And why is that? Why would they complain about me saying something like that, but I get mad at Hollywood when they do it on a bigger scale than I could ever do it?
Okay. It's because, first of all, you have to recognize the fact that when Hollywood first came into its inception in the 1915s, the 1920s, or the early 1930s, a lot of the movies of which I found that they were depicting blacks and were very, very degrading, such as the Jigaboo movies, such as that minstrel bullshit, you know, blackface, that type of shit. And what had happened was is that they kept perpetuating this image throughout mainstream media in regard to black folks. This is why you would have shit like Rochester, Yazzaballs on the Jack Benny show and all that type of shit. Yes, sir, Brother Isaiah. Then in addition to, there's three films that needs to be fully critiqued and observed. One is a film called Band of Angels that was made in 1957 with Sidney Poitier and Yvonne DiCarlo. Another one was two versions of a movie called Imitation of Life that dealt with the self-hatred within the black community. Now, when the Black Pride movement came along, which would be the mid to late 1960s, okay, then Hollywood had started shifting the paradigm. And this is where you got all the Jim Brown, Fred Williamson, Pam Grier, quote, super Negro. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
You know, I hate to interrupt you guys, but you guys are talking about some stuff that has nothing to do with my original question. My original question was today, not in the 50s, not with Jim Brown, not what Hollywood did in the 1960s. Why is it today movies like Ghostbusters, shows like Big Bang Theory, Seinfeld, today, when you see a black woman on there, usually back again, she's usually very violent, bad attitude, but you don't get too many black people calling those shows up and complaining about it. They don't get too many black people emailing those shows complaining about it. Again, you were off on some other stuff that I didn't even ask about. But can somebody please explain that to me? Because I think I have an idea.
Absolutely. Okay, absolutely. Now, let me just run this here by it. First of all, you got a thing called cognitive dissonance, number one. Second of all, you got the Stockholm syndrome, okay, that a lot of these Negroes who identify with their captors, okay, and that there was clearly evident in the film Imitation of Life of where the black girl had hated her dark-skinned mother and she had hated black people in general and she had wanted to participate into the American white mainstream society, but due to her heritage, you know, she was blocked from doing that. So then what had happened was you had these self-degradation images like the Amos and Andy, the Rochester shit. In other words, Free Peace, what it is, man, it's a process that they did. Case in point, during the early 1970s when you had the quote-unquote black exploitation films, those sold because it glorified drugs. They glorified the black man, you know, degrading his woman, just like they had other films of the black woman degrading black men, you know, and that show Good Times was famous for that shit. The same thing with that other show in the 70s called The Jeffersons as well, too. They basically prefer to show us as buffoons, comedians, athletes, but they don't never want to show us some positive role models, okay? And the reason being is because if they showed us some positive role models, then this would transfer to the youth. They want to keep our youth effeminized, incarcerated,
I'm sorry. I just hate to keep interrupting because when you say stuff that's just factually not true, because I can think of multiple shows, not just the Jeffersons, where the black male was positive. Good Times. That dude wasn't an idiot. That dude wasn't a hustler. That dude wasn't a street knucklehead. Okay, hold on.
Go ahead.
I can name you multiple shows. Good Times is one. How about Family Matters? I'm not even going to mention The Cosby Show. Different World.
Okay.
Every black man, that was a show about black people going to college.
Now, funny you should say that, and I'm glad you brought that point
also,
up, if I may interrupt you for once. Go ahead.
Okay, I'll go ahead.
No, I was going to say A Different World was a very, very positive show, and unfortunately they took it off the air because when that show was on the air, you know, the black college enrollment, man, tripled. You know what I'm saying? It really did. It really did triple, and I think, go ahead.
And by the way,
yeah, go ahead, Fred.
Again,
sir.
I'm gonna go back to my original question. My original question, mm-hmm. and nobody's answered it. Why is it that black people as a whole don't get mad when Hollywood depicts them as being loud, fat, overweight,
mm-hmm.
aggressive,
mm-hmm.
violent, any of that stuff? Why is it that black people don't call Hollywood and say, yo, don't depict us like that? Why do you think that? Again,
okay.
Nobody, you guys skirt around the issue and then talk about something else I didn't even ask about.
Okay.
Let's go back to the original
one
question.
Let me say this here on your last statement. One is due to cognitive dissonance, you know, of why they do that, number one. What is cognitive dissonance? Cognitive dissonance is meaning that you have a core belief so strong, so ingrained, that you would ignore all reasoning to go against it. Case in point, like right here out here in Oakland, the sun is shining out right now. Now, a person with cognitive dissonance will come up here and swear up and down to you that it's raining outside. You see what I mean? That's cognitive dissonance.
That's
so you have a lot of that.
I got a simple answer to that question I just asked. The reason I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know about the cognitive dissonance and what you're talking about, but here's my answer, and tell me if I'm lying. The reason why black people don't get mad and complain about those type of shows, because you see, you don't get mad and complain about things you agree with, just like you don't get rat mad. Just like you don't see a bunch of black men calling Hollywood complaining because Hollywood depicts a bunch of black men having big dicks. You don't see black men
mm-hmm.
talking about, oh, that's fucked up. That's fucked up. Don't portray
mm-hmm.
us like that. No, because
right.
they agree with it. So you don't get so,
yeah, right. I
again,
with
the black women,
the
black
difference.
People, no, that's just people, you don't get mad and complain about stuff you agree with. You have no problem with
mm-hmm.
it. That's why a bunch of black
okay.
people, I mean, I was hoping that you guys are older and you guys can answer, but that's a simple answer, and that's the realest answer. It's not cognitive dissonance. It's because they agree with it. They want to be
okay,
portrayed.
Okay, no, but that's just it, though, what I mean by
be...
Go ahead.
I'm done. Go ahead.
Okay, no, but what I'm saying is through the cognitive dissonance and through the Stockholm syndrome, which is identifying with your captors, okay, proves that in
mm-hmm.
regard to Hollywood. Now, here's one point. Now, Brother Isaiah, you and I talked about this here a while back. There was a film made in 1949 called Home of the Brave. It's a World War II movie with this one black guy out here with about five
mm-hmm.
white dudes, you know, fighting
right.
the Japanese on islands of the South Pacific. So they call this
right.
black man every nigger, every coon, every jiggaboo,
mm-hmm.
every porch monkey.
Mm-hmm.
They call him everything
word.
In the book.
Right.
And then there was a scene in the movie where the man was off by himself and the man broke down and cried. Now, he was crying
mm-hmm.
not so much because of the derogatory names that they had called him. He was crying because he was not white. That is the worst form of the Stockholm syndrome. So that's one answer to your question
mm-hmm.
right there, Brother Free Peace. Now, as we all know, Isaiah, you know it there in Baltimore, too, just like I know it out here in Oakland, California, and down there in Los Angeles.
Uh-huh.
Everybody
uh-huh.
loves to get up there and wants to be a star, wants to show their ass, just like the man was saying, why the black woman will go up there, like here she said, overweight, loudmouth, uneducated, you see what I mean? And then they always are putting down black men, and then not to mention the fact in this current day and times, what you got, there's a lot of these black men who are effeminized, bullshit-ass roles.
Exactly.
You see what I mean?
You
okay.
see them all in the, on the TV shows nowadays, too. On those, a lot of TV shows like Love and Hip Hop and all that.
Right, exactly. And then also, too, ladies and gentlemen, if you listen to us over the internet, you know, here at Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced, please call in with your comments, questions, and concerns. And our phone number here to give us a call at is area code 646-564-9630, and press 1 to speak live in the queue. Okay, so going back to is that, when we see these negative images in the movies and what have you, then what starts
mm-hmm.
happening is that we start doing this behavior and this degradation toward each other. You see what I mean?
Right.
And you don't see
right.
other communities doing that to themselves, but at the same token, other communities
are not going to sit up there.
Go ahead. Go right ahead.
Why is it? See, here's the problem. You see,
Yeah.
Because other communities, such as the Latino community, such as the Asian community, such as even the white people, and I'm not going to say the white community, because white community can mean Jews, Italians, all that
mm-hmm.
stuff. But they all
right.
have a code. It's called a code. So when you get off
right.
code, there will be consequences for your code. Only the black community doesn't have a code. So when these women go up on Sally Jesse Raphael back in the 90s, when they call black men gay,
right.
when they call black men not taking care of, they say that they're in jail, not taking care of their kids, and that they're bums and they don't have a job. There should have been,
mm-hmm.
in our community, there should have been consequences for that. Because believe me, in the Latino community, you go up there, if you don't believe in immigration, you better not be public with that shit. You better keep that shit quiet.
Right.
Because if you go in public talking about you don't believe in DACA, especially out here in California,
mm-hmm.
even if
yeah.
you don't agree with it, if you're Latino, you don't agree with DACA, and you go public with that, there will be consequences. From your own
right.
people. But if you go in
right.
the black community, you go up there and do and say anything, and it will be nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And why
yeah,
is that?
Exactly.
I mean,
okay,
like I said, you guys are older. Maybe you guys can answer that because, I have an answer for it. But it's just funny to me that when we talk about these type of issues, we start talking about it, and then we start talking about some other stuff that happened in the 50s and 60s with Huey Newton and Jim Brown and some other stuff that has nothing to do as two or three generations removed from where we are today. So,
okay.
I mean,
now,
I wish we would just stay on subject and stay on point.
Okay, well, that's what we're doing. We are keeping it on subject and on keeping it on point. But you have to keep in mind is that a lot of the knowledge that did come from the 1960s, the educational system has erased that, you know, in the school system, such as the New York Public Schools is going to say they're going to take Malcolm X out of the school curriculum. Now, how the fuck are you going to take Malcolm X out of the school curriculum in New York City
right.
when New
right.
York City is where Malcolm made his mark at? Just like
there,
in,
right.
yeah, and just like in Oakland, California, here in Oakland, how the hell are you going to take the Black Panthers out of the school curriculum when they originated right here?
Originated.
You see what I mean? So what it is that the power structure has a very, very selective agenda for us. Case in point, here in California, now they're teaching gay rights in the goddamn schools. You see what I mean? And then the cold part is
mm-hmm.
that they're forcing our children to go up here and to take this curriculum, which in my opinion is morally wrong. And not only is it wrong, it's an act wrong within
mm-hmm.
itself. Because if I had a child in the goddamn public school system and they come up there with that bullshit, my child be getting the fuck about that class for real. You know,
what
I'm talking about my child.
Why do you think they're doing this, though? Why do you think they're doing that, though?
Okay.
We understand that. There's no doubt in my mind that they are doing it. I agree with you that they are doing
right.
it. But my question is to you, can we please get to the point? Because I have a really – I'm going to ask you straight up, why are they doing that? Why are they not enforcing
okay.
the black history, but they're enforcing everybody else's history? There is a simple answer to that. Why is that?
Which is? Okay, you tell us. You said
you
want to
know
what
my
tell.
Simple answer is? Because
yeah,
every
yeah.
community, every community has a socioeconomic base. You see, they're going to go where the money is.
Okay.
So if these people, so if the politicians,
okay.
if these people are funding them, and they say, you know what, when you get into office, I want you to push this into the education curriculum. So you're the superintendent of schools. You're running for superintendent.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get into office, you're going to push my agenda, whether it's the gay agenda, the whole. Like I said, they're
mm-hmm.
not talking about taking the Holocaust out. But you don't hear them talking about
right.
that. They'll talk about that forever.
Right.
They'll be talking about
right.
that 200 years from now. But, again, black
mm-hmm.
people are the only ones that don't believe. They don't believe. It's not so much that they don't believe in voting, because I don't believe in it either. They don't
right.
believe in having a socioeconomic, so when a candidate runs for office, they can fund them. They can force them to have
right.
they can force them to have their agenda. If he doesn't have their agenda, guess what they'll do? They'll take away his funding. But, you see, when he doesn't
mm-hmm.
have the black agenda in mind, he has no consequence, because they're not funding him or giving him any money anyway. So what has he lost? All he gets is a bunch
okay.
of protests. All he'll
okay.
do, and all that politician will do in that case, is give you very temporary changes that tend to be very temporary, like I said, and vanish very quickly.
Okay, that is what they would call passiveness. You see what I'm saying? You know, that there's, yeah. See, the black politician is in the black community to pacify us to what really is going on. You see what I mean? Now, if what we did with the buying power that we have, and since we do not educate our children to go out and be entrepreneurs and be producers, you always got them constantly going out there to be consumers. The classic miseducational thing, oh, go to school, get an education so you can get a good job. But one thing is that the goddamn school system does not tell you is, well, hey, innovate, think for yourself, become creative. See, that's up to us. To do that, you don't go to your oppressor asking for liberation. You take it.
But no, that doesn't make any sense, though. What you just said doesn't make any sense because by definition, if you're going to think about it. Let me get to that. By definition, if he's teaching at a school, it's like taking a business class at any college. If this dude was good at business, I know a bunch of good businessmen. I know a bunch of successful businessmen. You ask any of them, you'll never see them teaching in a class. Why won't you see them doing that? Because that's time, energy, and especially, I said, time. Time and energy, they could be spent putting it into business to make more money. Because you see, when you're teaching at a college, you're not making very much money. So the people who can't teach the class, they'll teach it. Mm-hmm. You can't learn nothing from the people. And the people that are there teaching it probably aren't successful. Because if they were successful, they wouldn't be teaching that class.
Okay, well,
Yes and no on that one, right?
There's a point that you got right there, man. That makes a lot of sense because, like you said, you know, man, why should I go out here and do a teaching job and take this knowledge where I can go make 10 to 12 to 20 times more? Okay, so now you have to get off into the educators, the people with the PhDs, the people that specialize in education, and have them change the curriculum, but they're not going to change the curriculum. The reason why they're going to keep that goddamn degradation curriculum is because they're getting funded by others out of the black community. You see what I mean? So in other words, they're pretty much being bribed, compensated, or extorted to keep perpetuating the self-destruction and the self-generation. Now, also, too, now we also got to look at the history.
Whose fault is that?
Okay,
hold on. Whose fault is that? Okay, go ahead. First let me finish
my next two sentences. Okay.
Okay, good enough.
First of all, we have to look at the physical brutalization of the plantation system, and in addition to, we have to look at the psychological damage that this has caused for generation after generation after generation, because see, all that brutalization is still in our DNA. Case in point, you will get too frustrated black people with the power structure which is going on, but they will take it out on each other as opposed to going up there to the slave owner, as opposed to going to the politician or going to the businessman to take up the problem, but they will take out this aggression on each other, and it's designed this way. You see, so therefore, this is why we have to re-educate our people and emphasize the homeschooling and then getting our students about these goddamn public indoctrination centers, because the only fucking thing that the school is grooming us for is to go into the damn prison industrial complex. And then also, too, ladies and gentlemen, let me just take a few moments right here to mention the fact that they do have a nationwide prison strike that is going on, and I did promise someone on Facebook that I did mention to them. So therefore, if you're out there listening, yeah, we did mention it, you know, definitely research the prison strike that's going on, because you still have the prison industrial complex that is nothing more than slavery in its own right. So we want to say that.
What do
you
mean? Slavery in its own right?
Hold
on. You're just saying too much stuff that just doesn't make sense. That may be somewhat true, but it's not completely true. No. Let me just stop you right there. First of all, let's talk about when you talk about slavery, you talked about the education system. So let's just end the education system. Look, first of all, there's a public school system out there that's free. Let's just be for real. There's a library out there that's free. So the students out there, black students, white students, any student, they want to learn. If the teacher doesn't teach them, then it's the parents' job and it's the student's job to actually go out there and learn. I don't care what the teacher does or does not do. I don't care about any of that stuff. So, and the beauty about it is they can't say that it's that they can't go there because they can't get there. No, it's free, motherfucker. Hey, look, it's been free for a long time. You just don't want to learn. You don't want to read. Okay, let's just keep it real. You don't want to read. Reading gives you a headache. Reading is only for smart people. I've heard it all. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So now let's talk about slavery. First of all, it's the biggest stupidest thing is this white cops shooting black people in the street. How many black
there came from
in the last
too.
Year?
No,
how many black
on,
people? How many
right
black
here.
People? How many black people have killed more? How many blacks have killed more blacks in the last year? If you compare the numbers, let's just look at the numbers. More
okay,
black people
all,
killed
first,
black people than cops killed black
all,
people.
Come on,
by
man.
A large
Hold
number.
On. And just do let me say this: as you do know, is that your modern day police officers, okay, evolved from slave catchers under the Fugitive Slave Act of 1857, in which they were bounty hunters. And the Fugitive Slave Act gave them the power to cross state lines to retrieve runaway slaves back into the South. Case in point, like what you had here in California during the gold rush. You had a lot of whites come here that brought their slaves here and had them going down there working those mines up there, man, in Placer County, up there by Hangtown and Placerville and what have you, there on Highway 49 that you and I are both familiar with. Okay, now, also, too, due to the brutalization that after you had the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments, you also had the birth of the Ku Klux Klan and the Jim Crow laws.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean? So once again, to keep us psychologically degraded and psychologically dependent on the white American power structure or the slave master as a whole. Now, keep in mind is that in 1849, when they passed the state constitution here in California, it did outlaw slavery. But a lot of the slaves who were brought here did not know this, so therefore the white slave owner had them down there hauling the mines, doing all the menial tasks as well. Too, but however, they were in fact, when they crossed into California, they were in fact free. Now, with the Dred Scott case, which brought about the U.S. Supreme Court ruling.
We're
going
to go on and on about this. Can we please go back to the original topic? Please, we're going on now. We're going to talk about black history. No, look at Dred Scott. Look at. Let me just put it to you like this, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about back. Let's just go back to. Let's talk about slavery.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about the prison system. I don't know how many people are in prison. I got to look at the numbers. I really don't know how many people are in prison in the prison system. But I do know this. There are more people imprisoned in their homes right now behind Negro gang members, behind Negro drug dealers, behind Negro whatever, behind Negro wannabe gang members or wannabe tough guys.
Mm-hmm.
In their own hood, in their own sect. In their own city, there are more black people brutalized. They're scared to take their kids to the park. I remember we couldn't even go to the park because my grandmother was scared this shit would jump off with a bunch of because a bunch of Negroes couldn't conduct themselves properly. Let's talk about slavery. We had to stay in the house and watch TV in the middle of the day when it was beautiful outside. When we did go outside, we couldn't go to Oakland. We had to go to San Leandro where all the white people were to go to the park where they weren't scared we would get shot at. Now, you want to talk about slavery?
Mm-hmm.
That's slavery. Forget Dred Scott. Let's talk about today. The Negroes are the problem.
Okay.
The Negroes should
okay.
be.
Hold
we
on
need
on
a
second.
Prison
hold
for
on.
Slavery.
Yeah.
We need to build more complex.
Okay. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Hold on.
That's what
hold
we need.
Hold on a second. Okay. Okay. Hold
Another
on
prison.
But first of all, okay, no, I don't believe that.
No, no.
What we need is more educational facilities that are black-oriented for ourselves, okay? It's because when I look at these homeschooling programs down there, Brother Isaiah, I think you and I talked about this, where that there was two brothers, PhDs, down there in Louisiana that set up their own homeschooling program. And then they took the students after their first 4 years, and they gave them up against state aptitude tests in Louisiana, and those homeschooled children mentored that aptitude test to shreds. They were more respectful. They were more courteous. They were very, very highly articulate and what have you. Then these goddamn public indoctrination centers, because the only thing these goddamn public indoctrination centers is project all that negative shit that that gentleman just said. Talking about you, Free Peace. That's what keeps that there going, those goddamn public indoctrination centers. When I was going to high school in South Central Los Angeles, man, if the goddamn gang members wasn't fucking with you, the fucking LAPD would. So I said, fuck it. You know, I dropped out of high school. I went on and graduated from LA City College and attended the goddamn California University at Los Angeles.
At the end of the day, I don't care what the aptitude test is. Cause nobody's going to give a shit, honestly, in 5 years what class they took. What school they went to, what their grades were in high school. Nobody's going to tell me what they were doing in years from now. Show me that they were a doctor. Show me that they were a successful businessman. Show me they were an engineer. You know what?
Okay,
better yet,
then what you could do? You
show,
could
I don't care what they were doing,
man,
but I guarantee you this.
Okay,
you
want to
keep cutting me off. I can tell you this right now. Here's what I can tell you. I don't even know the numbers, but I'm gonna take a wild guess right here and say 50% or more of those students who had the good attitudes and who scored high on the aptitude test ended up not being successful. Here's my definition of success: $100,000 a year or better. I guarantee at least 50% did not even make it that far within 5 years of graduation.
Okay, well, I disagree. Okay, I disagree with your first statement, but however, I do agree with your latter statement. You see, once again, it's the value system that has got to be instilled in the child, okay, because as you so well pointed out, just like I referred to it, and I'm sure Isaiah is the same thing with you back there in Baltimore. You go into elementary school system, the first thing you're doing, man, you're in there overcrowded, on top of each other. The school materials are dilapidated. You see what I'm saying? The teacher got a very fucked up ass attitude. They always want to send the kids to detention. So already with the goddamn public indoctrination center is doing, it's already gearing the young child, preferably the males, to go to detention, to be arrested by the police. You see what I'm saying? Then you get approached by gangs and drugs. You see? Yes, sir. And then what happens is in the goddamn inner city schools, then their kids start getting introduced to drugs and making that easy money and that hustler's life.
No. They were introduced to drugs long before the school, long before they even went to school. Their mother's grown boyfriends around that use drugs. Their mother's, their baby daddy probably use drugs. No, they were already introduced to drugs probably when they were kids. No, that's bull.
Now, let me tell you something. Now, this here I remember from the goddamn fifth grade. The year was 1968, okay? I'm sitting in the motherfucking third grade, and then the teacher says, oh, well, the LAPD is coming in and going to visit your kids. So they got two of these stinking-ass lap dogs coming up in there. And what's the first thing these motherfuckers start passing around? Goddamn box full of drugs, LSD, heroin, crank, pills, barbiturates, Seconal, you see what I'm saying? Marijuana, they showing this shit to the goddamn kid. So quite naturally, of course, the first fucking thing that's going to happen is when you tell a child not to put their hand in the cookie jar, what they're going to do, that shit was a goddamn plant. And that's why that no-good sack of shit by the name of Daryl Gates, who was the chief of that murderous organization called the Los Angeles Police Department, came up with this quote-unquote drug awareness resistance education. So when he came up with that shit, you had the goddamn exact opposite happen. Then a fucking crack epidemic, man, went to an all-time high. You see what I mean? See, so we got to look at that crack epidemic in which you are right about, Free Peace. Like you said, that the mother's boyfriends and brothers and shit, you know, was allowed
to do that shit
around the kids.
So in other words, we're
going to
blame everybody. We're going to blame the LAPD for introducing it. We're going to blame everybody but ourselves. Because, you see, the LAPD didn't put a gun to their head and say, you know what, like that motherfucker and inhale. No, they inhaled that voluntarily. So we're going to blame everybody but ourselves. So let me get this straight. That's what we're going to do. We're going to blame it on somebody else.
Okay, the point is what I'm saying, though, is this, like I've said many a times. Okay, you heard me say many a times on this podcast, Isaiah, that we're only 150 years out of slavery, which is very, very old for a person, but it is still very young for a nation. You see, we have to focus on nation building, and we got to change our beliefs and value systems within the community, and this is what Free Peace is talking about. Yeah, that
it's
is some fucked up shit in the black community. Okay, brother, let me finish. Okay, excuse me, sir, please let me finish. Okay, all right, so we have to take responsibility on ourselves, and this is why I say fuck the celebrities, because see, celebrities are bought, paid for. Black celebrities don't control a goddamn thing in Hollywood, let alone the whole motherfucking city of Los Angeles. They don't control shit.
No.
Okay, and them motherfuckers are welcome to call in this number, and we can have a discussion about it, because you know how I am, Brother Isaiah. I will tell it like it is. Them black celebrities, black players don't control shit. Now, if black people truly had an equal opportunity or had an equal leverage some things right there, then the goddamn NFL would be about a business today. You know, how dare the fucking NFL gonna get up there and say, well, you niggas better sit up there and pray for this goddamn flag that's dedicated to our destruction. See, the psychological damage right there. You see, then what happens is, and then when we as a people talk about our own self-interest and about upgrading the quality of our lives and doing for ourselves and then to prevent, you know, what Mr. Free Peace is talking about, because Mr. Free Peace is talking about some very, very real goddamn problems in the black community. But those who emerge up into what they call the quote-unquote status quo turn their back on the black community. A classic case of a sorry-ass sack of shit by the name of Michael George. Now, let's look at what Magic Johnson did in black Los Angeles. Now, let's look at Magic Johnson, who could have easily walked away from community, could have easily went up there and bought them five or six other mansions up there in Beverly Hills, Brentwood, what have you. But what did Magic do? He put jobs in the black community. Magic put health clinics in the black community. Magic had put transportation in the black community for our elders and babies and our infants to go get proper medical treatment and adequate medical treatment. You see what I mean? So therefore, I do understand what Free Peace is saying right there. It's kind of like a 50-50 thing. But both have to be sit back and to be examined objectively, you see, to focus on a problem. Now, the first thing what we need to do is, you
well,
know,
hold on, hold on. I mean, you've been talking now for over a minute now. I mean, at some point, we're just going to – let me just say this.
Yeah.
This is why, right here, why I tend not to have conversations with a lot of black folks about certain issues, because the conversations tend to be circular and futile. Let me just put it to you like this. Look, it's simply, I don't need a whole minute, I don't need 5 minutes to go on and on and tell you what I'm going to say. Look, we're 40 years post Jim Brown, 60 years post Civil Rights Movement.
Actually, you're 50 years post Civil Rights.
Whatever. There is no reason that what Colin Kaepernick did should have been taboo. There should have been a league full of Colin Kaepernicks. But the problem is, why wasn't there a league full of Colin Kaepernicks? Because you have a bunch of bastards, weak bastards raised by single mothers who have taught them to be weak. Let's not make this conversation circular and futile. Let's actually talk about something. The single mothers are the problem in the black community. They are the biggest threat in the black community. You get rid of the single mothers, you get rid of the violence in the black community. You get rid of you take these black kids and you raise them by white kids, they end up being successful. Same black kids in the hood. You get rid of that single mother. You get rid of that single mother. Mm-hmm. She's the problem. She is the biggest problem in the black community.
Okay, if I may say this, it's not so much the single mother, it's the shattering or the shatteredness of the black family unit. It's because when the father was in the home, the boys were coming up being respectful. The girls were not as promiscuous. But you are right about the single mother situation in the black community, because a lot of them figure we'll have more kids and I can go get more welfare. You see, that's another thing. That shit there is designed
to keep you
stagnant.
It's a way of controlling. No. You see, that's the problem I have with these Black Lives Matter movement. A problem I have with radio, with talk shows like this. Like I said, if we're going to talk about something, let's talk. So let's talk about how black women will go to rallies like a black person gets shot, they'll go to a Black Lives Matter rally or Black Lives Matter movement or whatever they have. But this will be the same single mother who will talk about how Black Lives Matter, but go and put her baby daddy on child support and then put him in the system so if he doesn't pay, he's going to jail. So you want
to
talk about the prison complex, like I said, back to the single mothers, it all has the same common denominator. It's a single black mother. What?
Okay, excuse me, sir, I was in the process of saying something, okay? And also, too, let's be very, very clear here on Shabazz's Black Experience Enhanced. We don't mind people calling in, comment, and whatnot, and you know how I do it. I say we let everybody talk, and we try not to step on each other, okay? All right, so that there goes for you, too, Free Peace, okay? Because, you know, you've been having the floor pretty much just like I've been, like I promised you, like our producer has promised you, okay? Because, you know, you stated that you were not heard, okay? So now you have been heard, and we want to hear more from it. But from the 50-plus years that I've been on this planet, I can only go by what I saw. Because, see, there were many bright black students in South Central L.A. that wanted to get an education. There were many bright black students over there in East and West Oakland and on the south and west side of Chicago that wanted to get a good education. But, however, the powers that be and the environment around him wouldn't let him do it. And then, of course, when a student is up there getting these grades, well, hey, I'm doing great, this, that, there, the other, then you have the other students that get jealous, that start hating on them. See, all that shit is ingrained by this goddamn system. And then just like what Free Peace was talking about, which he is right about, you know, we definitely need in the black households, we definitely need both parents right there. Now, as far as black men who go on child support to say, hey, I can't get my licenses to go to work, okay, like you're a forklift operator, they pull your license. You're a commercial truck driver, they pull your license if you behind on your child support. Now, what they
really
have
quick,
done
pull
was...
passport. Really quick, they'll pull his passport too, so now he can't travel. I tried to add that too.
But what the point is, though, Free Peace, beautiful. But what it is that if he's going out here trying to do the right thing, see, then they're going to throw all the monkey wrenches in there against him. You see what I mean? Now,
who put the monkey wrench there in the first
place?
The black woman. Who put him there? Who put the monkey wrench there?
It's off the plantation system that's been carried on from generation after generation after generation, just like what Willie Lynch said with his doctrine. He said back in 1712, he says, if you put this here, divide the male amongst the female, the young against the old, the light skin against the dark skin, and what have you, control these motherfuckers for the next 300 years. Now, I ask you, what year is this? And he said this here back in 1712, and it proved his fucking point. Now, as far as the NFL and the NBA is concerned, and this is why you always hear me say, Isaiah, that black people don't control shit in Hollywood. Okay, same thing down there in Hollywood and in the city of L.A. If you did not participate in that bullshit, the motherfuckers would be bankrupt in 30 days. If every goddamn black football player in the NFL today did not suit up today in all 26 games, because they have 26 games every Sunday, right? No, I'm sorry.
Right.
Yes. 16 games every Sunday. I'm sorry. Okay. Then that motherfucker, man, will be out of business, man, within 30 days. You see what I mean?
Yes,
he really would.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So he'll be out of business within 30 days. Okay. Now, Brother Free Peace, what do you got to say on all that?
I don't know. Like I said, this conversation, like I said, is going to be circular and futile. Look, you want to talk about who put him in the situation? You want to talk about Willie Lynch? Who put him in the situation? I don't care about Willie Lynch. I don't care about what he said in 1776. Who put him in the situation today in 2018, 2017, 2016?
Okay, what I'm saying
is
that all this shit here.
Let's talk about their environment.
Go ahead and finish.
You talked about their environment. It goes back to, again, the common denominator is a single black mother. When this woman got pregnant, let alone. Let's talk about the type of dude that she met before. She finds
What type of dude is this? Now, is this a black guy or a white guy?
Usually most white men only want to try black women. They're very rare when you find a one that'll marry one, let alone have babies with them. You don't find that too many numbers. I can prove that black men marry white women at four times the numbers than white men marry black women. That's that's too easy to prove. I hope you don't want to dispute that. That's just a fact. But anyway, let's talk about their environment. Let's talk about environment.
No, I don't believe that.
Who put them in this environment? So you knew this dude was a loser. Okay, go ahead.
All right. Okay, finish what you're saying, Free Peace, and then we're going to let Brother Isaiah talk.
All right, so let's talk environment. Since you said it's their environment, I'm going to go by what you said. Who put them in this environment? See, when this woman got pregnant, let's just say she got pregnant by, because white women do it too. Don't get me wrong. They mess with bikers. They mess with losers too. Don't get me wrong. They do the same thing. But when they get pregnant, those white women had abortions. Oh, no. These black women don't do that. Oh, no. Oh, no. They have that baby by. They know this man doesn't have a job. They know he's in and out of jail. They know he's on drugs.
Mm-hmm.
They know he's this, that, and the other. They know he has multiple kids already he's probably not even taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
He can't, so if he's already not taking care of his kids and you get pregnant, the right thing to do is just to say, you know what, fuck this shit. Have the abortion. But they don't do that. They're like, you know what, I'm going to have this kid. Because why? Because they're selfish. They don't care about the kid. They don't care about his future. They don't care about his well-being. Because if they did care about his future, guess what they would do? First thing they would do is set up an education fund for him because they know college is expensive. But why don't they do that? Because they don't plan on him going to college.
Yeah,
they
right.
don't even know if you go to any of these hoods, like you said, like you guys try to say that the black woman is not the problem. I say she is, because if she cared about the kid's education, guess what she would do? She would put some money away, and he would have a college fund. I don't know if it would fund his whole education because the price is going up every year, but God damn you, me, he would have something because most of these kids, when they go off to college, they have zero. He would have something.
Mm-hmm.
Something beats nothing. Come
mm-hmm.
on, any day. One beats, the number one beats zero. Yeah, he doesn't even have a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
He just, you know what, uncle?
Mm-hmm.
So I can prove to you right now she doesn't give a shit about his education because people put their money where their mouth is all the time. Because you see, she has
mm-hmm.
money to get weave. She has money to get makeup. She has money to get purses.
Mm-hmm.
She has money to get nice cars. She has money for everything
mm-hmm.
but his education. There's
mm-hmm.
money out there. There's
funny
money in the ghetto.
Say that.
Oh.
Okay, funny you should say that is because Umar Johnson, you know, recently, you know, he did either a live feed or a video on that same situation right there. It's because how all these ghetto fabulous motherfuckers wearing Gucci's, wearing Louis Vuitton shit, you know, and all that type of shit. $200 shoes by Michael Jordan. Yeah, and fuck Michael Jordan. It's because he invests money in prison, so he may kiss my ass. And I said it on the air.
If I had money, I would invest in prisons too. I don't know. Let me just stop.
I would.
If I had money, if I had enough money, I would invest in prisons because obviously these people don't know how to act. They want to act like they're stupid. They want to act like they're stupid. They want to act like they don't know right from wrong. So prison is a good way. So if you want to have a good financially set future, if you want a good investment, invest in prison. Oh, no, it's the best place to do because, these Negroes don't know if they want to act like they're dumb. So like I said, they want to act dumb. Let's treat them like that. Let's treat them like animals. You know,
okay.
fund the cage, put some money behind it, and guess what we can do? We just have cheap labor. Because like I said, they're good for something.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, just like these single mothers.
Yeah,
just like these single mothers out here. Or, no, let me just
okay,
say,
well,
these single mothers out here are actually good for something. They're actually good sex partners. Go ahead.
But who's we, though? Who's we?
Yeah, but who's we? Yeah.
I wish I had the money. Honestly, that's one of my only regrets. One of my few regrets in life is I didn't set myself up to have enough money to be like Michael Jordan and be able to invest in the prison system the way I want.
My question is, who's we?
Okay.
My question is, who's we? Who's we? That's my question. Who's we?
Yeah, that's a good question. That three piece. Who is we?
We what?
Who's we?
Yeah,
you said like
we that we need
we,
more prison. So who is
we?
Who's we? Yeah. I. Let me speak for myself. I'm not gonna speak for anybody else. Let me speak for myself. I would like more prisons.
Okay.
Why would I like more prisons? Because when I go down the street, walking down the street late at night for whatever reason, I don't want to get mugged. When I wake up in the morning to go to work, I don't want my car window busted. You see, if this man is in a correctional
mm-hmm.
facility, I don't have to worry about that. He's in a controlled environment where he will have his movements monitored and controlled, and if he gets out of line, we'll get his ass kicked. In a perfect place
mm-hmm.
where he can't do nothing about it, he's in a nice little box at night, and in the daytime we can monitor and watch him and control him.
Mm-hmm.
And the beauty about it is, he can't have more kids because he's in a correctional facility. So we ain't got to worry about the fruit of his loins growing up 20 years from now, mugging and attacking my kids.
Okay, now, what you're saying right there, do you know what you just set the premise for right there on that reasoning? Genocide.
No,
yeah.
No. They're going to do that to themselves anyway. No, no.
No,
like I said,
no,
they're going to do that to themselves. More or less like they do
genocide,
it to themselves every
man.
Day. That's going to happen anyway. That's going to happen anyway.
Well, I think
the only way to stop
that.
It, the only way to stop is if we get, I'm telling you right now, the only way to stop it is to go after and eliminate the single black mother. If she has consequences for her behavior, because right now she's going to keep doing, she's going to keep having babies, loser men that cannot afford to take care of their kids. She's going to keep putting these men in jail. She's going to keep putting these men in the system. She is going to keep rewarding from the system in the form of Section 8, WIC, welfare, and any other free financial things. Do you know that these women get free child care when they go to college? Do you know that these women get free? Yeah, oh, let that be the man. Let's flip the script. Let that try to be a single father go up there to that same college and try to get the same kind of child care. Will it be free?
No, he will
like
have
I said, she's the problem. She is the problem.
Fathers.
That's why she's doing
different.
It. Okay, well, until we eliminate that problem, that's when, this, again, everything that we talk about is going to be circular and futile. These conversations, that's why I tend not to have them, because they tend to be circular and futile.
Okay, all right.
We're not going to attack the problem.
Okay, hold on. Let me say this here. We got a caller calling in from area code 617 with the last 46439. Please let us know where you're calling from and what your comments, questions, and concerns you hear on Savannah's Black Experience Enhanced.
Good evening, gentlemen. How are you?
Okay. I'm doing fine. And who is speaking with, ma'am?
My name is Sheba, and I'm calling from Massachusetts.
Okay, how are you doing, Ms. Sheba? What's on your mind, neighbor?
Hi. I just find it a little disturbing, this grouping of all single mothers. I don't find that to be fair, because at one point I was a single mother. I have three kids now, but when I was raising my kids on my own.
Yes, ma'am.
I have a son who's an engineer, and I have a daughter who's about to become a pharmacist. So,
oh,
I mean,
okay. Yeah,
that's
real good.
Real good. Real good. Real good. Real good. Did you receive, hold on. Did you receive any form of welfare? When I say welfare, I don't just mean money. I mean Section 8. I mean WIC. I mean any form of government assistance. So you're telling me you did this all by yourself,
yes,
or did you have to get government assistance?
At the beginning, I did, because I had my first child.
Oh, so there's the truth. So I didn't lie. Oh, go ahead.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Okay, please,
so
please,
I didn't,
please,
I,
please,
no,
please,
I didn't
please,
lie.
Please,
can,
let,
and,
on,
can,
let,
I,
talk,
can I please talk? Can I please talk? Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. At first, I did. I had my first child at 21, and I only did it for a couple of months. I basically have never received any kind of child support from my two grown children. I did that on my own. I put myself through college. I got a bachelor's degree. I got a master's degree. You know, not everybody, you can't group everybody in the same thing. Sometimes you do need that assistance in order to get that
ESSA.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people use it for the wrong reasons. The reason that it's used for is in the way that I felt that I used it in order to work my way up and get an edge up in order to better myself, in order to provide a better life for my children.
Mm-hmm. Okay, mm-hmm. So in other words, you pretty much took the incentive and pretty much made yourself self-sufficient is what you have done.
Yeah,
and for
exactly.
You, yeah, and for
never,
you to raise the... Yes, ma'am.
Never once took my ex to court, never took them to child support, did that all on my own because I felt that if you felt that you didn't want to partake in the responsibility, then why should I force you?
Yeah, you're absolutely correct on that.
For me, the more important thing wasn't a monetary thing. For me, the more important thing was to have the physical father in their life.
Okay.
Whether he can provide financially or not.
Let me stop really quick. She said that the most important thing for her was to have a father in her life. So let me ask you this. How can you then, first of all, try picking a good man then?
I was married. It didn't work out.
I'll repeat myself. How can you then pick a, just because you were married doesn't mean you picked a good man?
No, I was young.
Obviously, your judgment is off.
When I met him, I was 18 years old. I was young. I had my first child at 21.
Okay.
You know, I mean, my mind wasn't even fully developed.
Okay.
Really? You gonna let her get away with that book? You gonna let her actually say that? Look, imagine you're 18 years old. I tell these boys this all the time. You go out there and get a felony at 18. You can't go to court. I mean, you can't go get a job at 42 and be like, you know what, I did some shit when I was 18. Yeah, I was young and dumb. You think that they're actually gonna give a shit or listen to that, or they're gonna look at the fact you have a felony? Oh, I was dumb.
Mm-hmm.
So you're telling me you didn't know any better at 18? You're telling me you didn't know how to pick a good person from a bad person? You're telling me you didn't know right from wrong? Like I said, I'm going to call you out on this.
You just sound like you're a very hateful person.
See how
you sound like you sound like you're very angry and bitter.
Angry and bitter at what? I'll just pick, like I said, I tell these boys this all the time, pick a better woman.
You can't put everybody in the same group. That's what I'm saying to you. You just sound ignorant.
You on that mission.
And you see how I made a valid point. Instead of her refuting it, she attacked me.
I am not attacking you, sir. You know, you're coming up here and you're trying to.
I didn't attack her. I just said stuff.
Yes,
that
you
I said
did.
Something
okay,
is
yes,
true.
You
I said
did.
Let the
true.
Woman finish.
You did.
Is that her thought? Let the woman finish. Let the woman finish, please. Let the free finish.
Okay,
come on, free. Go ahead and say what you're going to say, and then we're going to take her up on the free piece and let them say what they're going to say. And also, too, ladies and gentlemen, please be advised that we are in overtime right now, so definitely stay on the line. Do not hang up, because with us being in overtime, if you hang up, you won't get back off into the show. And we're having a very, very good dynamic show, as a matter of fact, and being the executive producer of this is perhaps one of the best. Okay, but Free Peace, as the woman was saying, okay, is that, you know, it's kind of like that you're attacking her personally as opposed to the premise. Now, the young woman got educated. She had two children. She did say is that the children's father was in her life. Am I correct on that there, Ms. Sheba? And if I'm wrong, please correct me.
Yes. You know, we got married. It didn't work out, but we still
parented. Okay. Okay. Very important question, Ms. Sheba.
I understand how relationships don't work out. Don't always work out, even if that person is good. But you know what? A responsible, good man is still going to believe it's going to do. It's going to take care of their kids. A responsible man is going to pay child support. You don't have to bother him. You don't have to hunt him down, because he knows those kids need stuff every day, every month. He knows that.
What?
So if he's responsible and trying to do the right thing, so in other words, you can't pick a good man. Are all those kids by the same food?
My first two children by my ex-husband, and my last baby is by my current husband.
Okay.
But you just said that you're not getting child support from none of them. You didn't get child support from none of them. So obviously, two different dudes, three kids, two different dudes.
Well, no, my current husband takes care of our baby. She's only 2 years old.
I'm talking about
my experience as a single mother when I was raising my older children.
Yes, ma'am.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yes,
please continue,
Queen. Go ahead,
Queen. Because this is very, very inspiring.
Yeah, and all I'm trying to say to him or to anyone that, you know, is available, that's able to listen, is that not all single mothers are the same. Some of us do strive for better and do work hard.
Right.
You know, and you can't always analyze someone and say, oh, well, maybe 5 years from now he's going to, you know, bail out. How do you know that? You don't know that.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. You don't.
Exactly.
Yes, sir. And then also, let's look at white America in the reverse. You'll find that in the rural South, you got more whites on welfare than you have blacks. That's a current fact. That's a damn statistical fact by the Commerce
and then you have to also take into factor that, you know, not all melanated people are from the same cultural background. You know, I am from a different cultural background.
Okay, what is your cultural background, ma'am?
What's your background?
I'm originally from Panama.
Oh, okay, mm-hmm. Yeah, all right, yeah, that there is Central America, and as we all do
yeah.
know, ladies and gentlemen, is that Panama did participate greatly in the transatlantic slave trade, right along with Cuba,
exactly.
Puerto Rico, Colombia, Venezuela, and Veracruz, Mexico,
yeah.
as well,
right, Cuba, yeah.
And then let me say this right here, ladies and gentlemen, is that the only difference between an African American, an African Panamanian, an African Cuban, an Afro Venezuelan, an Afro Brazilian is a boat stop.
Yeah,
no, man, it's a boat stop.
Can I ask you something? Hold on. Can we?
We're all indoctrinated the same way.
All right, thank you. We all alike, and we all have a lot of common. Good enough. Let me ask you something. Let's talk about, since you say you're a strong black woman, how long is your hair?
How long is my hair? I have a short natural cut because I just recently cut my hair.
Oh, okay. Do you wear weave or perm?
No. I have been natural ever since I gave birth to my daughter, which was
that's
18
right.
years.
That's right. That's right.
That's
because
right.
I said to myself, you know, there's no way that I could look at my little girl and say, you have to wear your hair natural and I have a perm. That's ridiculous.
That's
okay.
Right.
Well, you right. I can't argue with that, and I agree with you. But a lot of women tend to think that wearing their hair in weave or perm. Well, no, let me correct it. A lot of black women, because you don't see white women putting black women's hair on their head, but you do see a bunch of black women wearing Korean
no,
hair.
No,
you
just
do
see
a bunch of
some Vegas wearing dress and stuff. No, you be seeing them be wearing dress
where,
and
where,
locking.
Where? I've never seen it. I've never seen a white woman put a black woman's hair on their head and walk out in public with it.
Oh, no, no.
But
no,
I have
no,
seen
no,
a bunch
no,
of
no,
black
no,
women
put
white
the
hair on
no.
their head. I have seen
oh,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Many times.
Let me say this.
I go from everybody's little
Kim
to.
All right. Oh,
I definitely agree. I definitely agree with that one.
Okay, hold on. Let me say this here, people. Okay, first place, I recall in the late 1960s when the natural was very, very popular, particularly 68 to
mm-hmm.
70, you had a lot of whites that tried to wear the natural as well, too. That was a trip. Okay, and then what had happened is between the 80s and the 90s with the crack infestation, this had screwed up a lot of the paradigms and the mindset and the family values and the family units within the black community. Because I remember in the late 1960s, black men were going around wearing leather pieces, keeping themselves groomed and whatnot. But 50 years later, you got these cats going around here with skinny jeans, showing the crack of their funky asses, talking about that they are true and all this other type of shit, talking about that they're gangster. First, let's say something. There ain't no such thing as no broke gangsters. How the fuck you gonna call yourself a gangster and you coming up to me asking me for a damn cigarette? But you a gangster.
Right.
Man, you better
and
get your ass up
some
my
change.
Face, man, before
can
you
we,
get your ass whipped. For real.
I hate to keep interrupting, but can we please get to the bottom line? Now, let's say I heard what you said about 50 years ago, but let's just cut to the chase instead of talking about it and talking about it endlessly. Let's cut to the chase. Here's the chase. 50 years ago, you had two-parent households. You had the mother. You had the father. The black man was working.
Right.
He was strong. He was about something. Today,
right.
you have a bunch of single mothers raising these males. Now, who's responsible for it? It all goes back, like I said, common denominator is a single mother. Until we can acknowledge that, we will keep talking about this endlessly until we correct the problem. But first, the only way to correct the problem is to first admit that a problem does exist. The single mothers are
okay,
the problem in
all,
my community.
Okay,
just,
first
but
of all,
we're not
I disagree with
that,
you
nothing
with
get
single
done.
Mothers being the problem. Okay, I disagree with you, Free Feast, of single mothers being the problem. However, for all our women to be single, raising kids is the problem. Do let me say that, but you cannot blame it so
mean?
Much on the single mother. Okay,
you
cannot
eliminate.
No.
What do you mean by that? What do you mean? If the grandmother raised the mother singly, and if the mother raised
mm-hmm.
the daughter singly, all she knows how to do is be a single mother. Look, if the mother and grandmother, I know many cases like in the hood, most of those women are whores.
Mm-hmm.
Look, grandmother was a whore who told her daughter
whoa, whoa,
to be a whore.
Wow.
Excuse me, folks. Let me say something right here. Otherwise, I'm going to start Xing everybody out. Okay, let me say this right here. First of all, preach that last statement you made was uncalled for. Okay.
Tell me I just lied, though. It may be uncalled for, but tell me I lied.
Okay.
It may be uncalled for. It may not need to be said.
No.
But tell me I lied.
You cannot.
No, when you said your statement was that most single mothers are whores, man. No.
I didn't say all. But a lot of them are. I didn't say that. I didn't say all. I said a lot of them. I didn't say all.
I don't even think.
I can prove it.
I don't make
it. Was you raised by a single mother?
Hell no, I wasn't raised by a single mother. My father actually was responsible and actually cared about us. My father actually stayed there, even though my mother was not easy to get along with. Don't get me wrong, she was not easy to get along with, but he actually cared about us. Now he didn't neglect her, but he took care of us, which is the most responsible thing because she's an adult.
Okay.
She can take care of herself. We're kids. We need help. He took care of us until the point where we could take care of ourselves. So he did do the right thing. That I can't give him. He was guilty of a lot of other things. Don't get me wrong, he wasn't the best man out there, but he did try. And that's good enough. At least these Negroes out here, come on. If you stay in the same zip code or if you stay in the same county or even within 50 miles of your kid, you ain't seen your kid in a month. Let's just keep real. Do you really like your kid? If you don't put money away for his education, you have 18 long damn years. You couldn't save a dime for his education? I question, do you really care about his education? Do you really care? In the next place you say you care, I don't believe it.
This is why I had emphasized in the beginning, man, about us, you know, homeschooling our own youth and to get them out these goddamn public indoctrination centers is because these damn public indoctrination centers do not educate our children. The only thing they do is gear our children to go straight into the penitentiary, to the prison industrial complex.
That's what the fuck they do.
Let's look at the city of Oakland. The city of Oakland, as you know, had just killed 8 sports in high school. They killed 8 of the high school, you know, extracurricular activities in high school. See, so therefore, those who are managing the school board, they need to be investigated. Like these damn public indoctrination systems, you see, they're deteriorating from within, you see. So it's up to us as men, you see, to deal with this situation. Now, Minister Malcolm, hold on, 50 years ago. And then, is to be commended for what she did at a great work of what she did and raised her children. You see what I'm saying? So I salute Sister Sheba for putting up with a mighty task. Now, keep in mind, Free Peace, you are bringing up some very, very good points right here, though, brother. You really are. But I agree that there is a problem.
I don't disagree with that at all. You know, because I've seen it with several of my girlfriends, and I'm just like, are you kidding me? You know,
the single mother is a problem. If you get rid of her, the problems will slowly start to correct themselves.
I disagree wholeheartedly.
Like I said, if you give her some consequences,
you're going to have more black children going into the damn adoptive agency, being violated and molested there in those foster homes. Yeah, not to mention the fact that you got more of them going straight to the goddamn penitentiary. You act like they're safe at home.
You act like these kids are safe at home. They're in gang infested, drug infested hoods. What the hell? You act like you're going to a foster home and stuff. Whatever. I don't know which one's worse. These kids don't live in their childhood.
Okay,
they survived their childhood. You act like they're gonna have it better now. These kids are fucked up. They're already gonna be so much worse. But once again though,
like I said in the premise of the program, you see, 150 years out of slavery is very, very old for a person, but it's still very, very young for a nation. And then to keep in mind is that the powers that be with the miseducation of the Negro, like Carter G. Woodson had said more than 70 years ago, when it comes to education, the black student is taught to sympathize with this group, to embrace white culture, to love the Greek culture, but he's taught to despise the African culture, which is the essence of himself.
Who teaches them that? The miseducation of the Negro. The first teachers of any kid is usually the mother. Honestly, let's just be honest with you.
Okay, I'm talking about in the school system. Not the,
in the school
home unit. I said the school unit. Yes.
Yeah, the first teacher of any child is usually the mother. The first teacher of any, let's just keep it, like I said, let's just cut to the chase. The first student of any teacher is the mother. The mother teaches these kids,
Ava,
especially the males, especially the boys. They lower their self-esteem. They have them thinking that they're not going to be shit. They pick the wrong, like I said, it's not like these dudes are surrounded by other males who are actually doing something and actually successful. She makes sure that that doesn't happen. She makes sure that she doesn't see any of that stuff. There's a reason.
Well, I disagree.
Like you just said, let me, hold on. I'll tell you why. Let me tell you why single mothers why things will not change until we correct the behavior. This lady who's on the line, I'm not attacking you, but I'm going to merely repeat everything you just said and tell me if I'm lying. You said you were 18 years old, you were young, and you didn't know any better. You guys were going to let her slide with that. You're telling me you're 18, you didn't know right from wrong, you didn't know any better, you didn't know that, you know what, I'm not going to have a baby until I'm successful. You didn't know kids were expensive? You didn't know that kids need stuff? But yet you wouldn't have had the kid anyway, knowing you didn't have an education, knowing that this man, whoever your baby daddy was, he's probably in the same boat as you, no education or lack thereof, or didn't have a good job or whatever. So how were you going to take care of the kid? What was your plan? But nobody calls her on that. People let her slide with that. People don't say that. But only me.
Okay.
But then when I do say something, I'm angry, and people attack me. Go ahead.
Okay, do let me say this here. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, our show has ended. We're in overtime. But what I would like to do is to continue this conversation on our next podcast. So everybody, please keep our number right here, which is 646-564-9630. Now, Sister Sheba, I got a question to ask you, ma'am. Okay, how did you hear about our show? Yeah, how did you hear about our show?
I was scrolling through Blog Talk.
Okay.
And the title caught my attention,
up.
So I decided to listen.
Yes, ma'am.
To listen in.
And we most definitely appreciate, you know, your participation
calling
in our show. And definitely hit our like page on Facebook called Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced. And what that does is give you all the updates of our upcoming shows. And
yeah.
I appreciate Brother Free Peace, you know, for hosting the show tonight. You know, I hope that he's happy that he got out what he had to say. We definitely appreciate our featured commentator, the one and only Brother Isaiah Compton, and I'm your host for Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced, Shabaka Sankara. And we're going to leave our show out here with our outro on Bumping on Sunset by the one and only Mr. Wes Montgomery.
Peace.
Okay, well, anyway, we can't get the algorithms going in. Okay, ladies and gentlemen. good afternoon from Oakland, California, the birthplace of the Black Panther Party. Have a nice day.